Seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 13 and verse 11. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 13 and verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. My mind has rested upon these words at the opening of this text. Finally, brethren, farewell. There lies in these words from the lips of the Apostle Paul much divine teaching. We know that his heart was in these words as he wrote them to the church at Corinth. He labored amongst all the churches and traveled from church to church, Ephesus, Philippi, Corinth, Rome, and many more churches he traveled amongst. And he speaks here in this epistle of the things that lay upon him, he said, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And here he reveals somewhat of his care over the church at Corinth. And this is not with his dear servant a mere formality, as he concluded this letter which he had written from Philippi to the church at Corinth. Here we see his affection. Here we see his concern. Here we see his exercise of heart to see the work of God's Spirit manifest. And he does not use mere formal words. He is speaking the truth out of his own heart. These words have rested upon our mind, and our heart is set this evening upon speaking a little of the first word, brethren. And then to go on to speak of his word, farewell. And when we come to look in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, in chapter 15 and verse 29, we see these words spoken so clearly in one of the letters there, at the end of that letter, in the verse 29, we have these words, fare ye well. It gives us a very clear understanding of the meaning of this word when the apostle said, farewell. It was not just goodbye. It was a spiritual desire that it would go well with them, that it would be well when called to die, that it would be well here in this world below, and that they would fare well in the day of judgment when they stood before the throne of God, that they would be found on the right hand of the throne of God. Fare ye well. It is in my heart to speak a little of what the apostle had in mind as he wrote to the church at Corinth. Because you know, the verses that follow these words, finally, brethren, farewell, give us a beautiful direction in what the apostle had in mind. We see in our text here tonight in the 11th verse, be perfect. This is what he meant when he said, fare ye well. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. And finally, there comes that beautiful benediction. This is what he meant when he said, fare ye well. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. This was his desire for the church at Corinth. And we would desire to look this evening into the meaning of this word, fare ye well. So let us, as the Lord may help us this evening, come to this, finally, brethren. If we were looking to have an indication of what the apostle meant by brethren, then we have it in the opening chapter that we read to you this evening. How beautifully he speaks there of a brother. The very opening verse, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. He described him in other ways as his son in the faith. But he was a brother in Christ. And what a beautiful word this is. And what lies beneath it. A holy, sacred, eternal bond and union that will never be broken between God's dear children here in this world. We have many figures that are used again and again in the scripture to speak of this blessed union. Our mind goes to that beautiful book, the Song of Solomon, and the bride and the bridegroom, to the Apostle Paul's writing when he speaks, oh, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and his church, the sacred union of the church. And then we read in that lovely word, in the epistle here to the church at Corinth, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. What a relationship is spoken of here. The beauty of the creation ordinance of marriage until death us do part. A bond never to be broken. Only in death. And oh, what a figure the Lord took up of Christ and his church, the bride and the bridegroom. And when we come to see the figure of the sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty, you know, our children, are ours. They are given to us by God. They are the gift of God. But peculiarly, in the order of creation, they have but one mother and one father. And that bond is never broken. Only in death. But still, there is always that which remains. Even when our dear parents are in eternity, they are ours. No other father or mother. A blessed bond and union. A figure of the eternal bond and union of Christ, his dear church. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. And here we have this beautiful figure of brethren in the bonds of the everlasting gospel. Oh, what a figure it is. The sweet union and communion between the saints of God here in this earth. Spoken of in the book of Malachi. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They communed together on the things of God. And they were brothers in the church of God. Sisters in the church of God. Mothers in Israel in the church of God. And the apostle went on to speak of another figure. Not many fathers in Christ, he said. And the bond transcends all ages. Well do I remember as a student at university, and the Lord began with me and called me out of the world to follow him in obedience. In the church where I was at the time, I found a dear mother in Israel, a prayerful soul. She'd never been married, never had any children of her own. And when I was there with my dear friend John Rayner, oh, what a dear mother in Israel we found in Elizabeth Mary Parker. She was 75 at the time. But a prayerful, godly woman. And oh, the union we felt to her in the things of God, in the bonds of the everlasting gospel. And she was not the only mother in Israel in my life. Oh, how she warned and advised us and prayerfully followed our footsteps. Welcomed us into our home, into her home, and we were blessed in her companionship and her company. Oh, what do you know of mothers in Israel? Why, in the churches in the years gone by, the Lord favored his churches with dear godly women and godly men in the churches. Oh, how they watched over the young prayerfully, prayed for them, carried them. No children of their own, but they carried the immortal souls for years of those whom the Lord had laid in their hearts. What a blessed figure here we have then, as the apostle speaks of that union, that bond, that tie in the bonds of the everlasting gospel. And I would say this bond transcends natural ties. We have those who are our blood brothers and our blood sisters. But we may not have the union with them, even though they're naturally ours, that we have with the living family of God, as we meet them and feel sweet union and communion with them. I have come here to the States as a complete stranger. And I can say truthfully to you here tonight, as I have moved from Choteau to Sheboygan to Grand Rapids, I have watched where, when I have felt that sweet union in my heart. It would be quite invidious to say where it was, but I know it. I shall take the precious nature of it back with me to UK. I shall indeed. There have been bonds formed here, often unspoken, which will abide. Ties which will ever remain. A union which cannot be broken. A sweetness and a savour which will ever abide in my spirit. And I was training in the teaching profession. In UK, I had to go to Worthing, a small town on the south coast, for 10 weeks. There was a nurseryman there who ran a nursery where he grew wallflowers and cucumbers, quite a prosperous little business. He was a deacon at the church. He was a man of very, very few words. I saw him and met him once in 10 weeks. He shook hands silently at the church door where he was deacon. But do you know, I felt he was a brother in Christ. I felt a deep love and affection to him. He was a man of such few words. But I never pass through that town now without I think of him. He's been gone to glory many, many years. But I loved him as I left that town. It has been a bond which has never been broken. He was a humble, godly follower of the Lamb. And my heart's affections went out to him in a sweet union and fellowship in the gospel. When we come to look at this word that the apostle speaks, finally, brethren, he's with them now. They worship before the throne of God. There is a glorious clarity here. The church militant and the church triumphant are one in Christ. They're utterly undivided. They're gone before. Husband and wife in the bonds of the eternal gospel, brethren in Christ, are utterly undivided by death. Cannot separate them. The apostle had such a sight of it. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? There was his answer. I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, and he goes on through that sacred catalogue, be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it is this blessed love that binds the saints of God here below. They feel a tie and a union one with the other. They have walked out the same steps. They have heard the voice of the same Master. They have known the same heavenly commandment. But I would say this. It is a solemn, solemn, solemn warning. David and Ahithophel, they walked together, sweet counsel, to the house of God. But they are separated in eternity. David and Saul are both kings of Israel. They are solemnly separated in eternity. But there was, there in that court, a union which has never been broken, and that is the union between David and Jonathan. Glorious union. Sweet union. Oh, what a union that was. We have known that union. And those dear, beloved brothers have gone to glory now. But there's no breach. No separation. No division. Still one in Christ. Finally, brethren. How indefinable is that sweet union. The apostle knew it with Timothy. Oh, how he knew. They were different in age, in generation. What a remarkable thing it is when young and old meet together. I look back in my youth to my dear godly grandfather. I lived in awe of him. He was a godly man. I would never have dared to say anything spiritual in his presence. Anything about my own heart. Because I was certain he would have instantly searched out the reality of it. But you know, there came a day towards the end of his life. I believe it was 2 or 3 years of his end. When I went with him to hear a servant of Christ preach, and it touched my heart. And the text was a very blessed text. It was this: I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. And do you know, I drove my grandfather home after that service, and I opened my mouth for the first time on the spiritual things in his hearing. And I said to him, "Grandpa, he was helped tonight, wasn't he?" And he looked at me and he said, "Yes, he was." And that's all he said. But there was a bond between us. And I didn't know what he thought or what he felt. But after I'd come before the church and been baptized, and he was gone to his grave before that happened, an elderly member of our church came up to me and said, "Your grandfather said you'd come." Oh, the bond between young and old. Blessed living union in the body of Christ. It is the very foundation here of that union in the church. Oh, the sacred nature of it. It is divine. It is the work of God sweetly blending together in the hearts of his dear people. And then to come to this second word of our text: fare ye well. Finally, brethren, fare ye well. This sweet word was the desire of the apostle. It's peculiarly expressed in the benediction that is here. But before we come to speak of the blessed nature of this benediction, we would look at the remaining part of our text. Fare ye well. The apostle's desire was that they might be kept here below. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. I would look at this word, here be perfect. I do not believe it means be sinless. Oh, if we looked at it in another light, I believe it would lead us in this direction, that we be brought to lean utterly, completely, totally in dependence upon our God. To be as nothing in his dear hand. To seek earnestly the best gift. To seek what we have preached to you over the days we've been here. That glorious robe of his righteousness. What do you think the apostle had in mind when he was speaking here of perfection? I believe this. He was not thinking of sinless perfection. That erroneous doctrine which John Wesley propagated. But he was thinking here of that beautiful verse of Toplady: "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. My hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me." And when we speak here of the apostle, fare ye well, be of good comfort. Where's the comfort? Oh, I believe that it's in the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. It is to be brought to find our only peace and comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There is no other comfort in life. I have known in my life some stormy sea, solemn tempest. Where has been my comfort in those tempests? Exactly where this apostle's comfort was. When he said, "They stood beside me this night. An angel of God whose I am and whom I serve." Oh, he knew his comfort was in the presence of his God. We've spoken of the three men in the fire. Where was their comfort? In the presence of their Redeemer. When Daniel was in the lion's den, where was his comfort? When Jeremiah sank in deep mire, where was his comfort? When Jonah was in the belly of the whale, where was his comfort? If good comfort, it is to be looking unto Jesus and seeking that comfort which comes from the Holy Spirit of truth, the Comforter in our heart. It is to know a triune God. And then we come to these words, "Fare ye well." Beautiful words. "Be of one mind." Precious experience to be of one mind. One mind because we have been taught by the same Spirit of truth. One mind because we have known the same revelation of Christ. One mind because we have been brought down under the sovereignty of God and have been made as little children. Oh, what a blessed grace this is to be nothing and to be of one mind. It is a sweet moment in the church when poor trembling sinners come before the church of Christ, brought by God the Holy Spirit under divine commandment, to obey his voice and follow him in the ordinance of the church. And as they come to speak before the church of Christ and the members of the body of Christ, listen to their confession. They have one mind. They understand it. The poorer it is, the lower that confession comes, the more union they feel. They do indeed. Do you think that's true? They're not there to hear a glowing account of their experience. They're here to feel a precious union with a brother, a tempted, tried brother in Christ. And here is the members of the body of Christ sweetly blending together. There is never a more precious time in this earth. And the Lord looks down. The Lord hearkened and heard. What have you missed? Why have you not come? What is standing in your way? What pride is in your heart to think that you must bring something that is acceptable? Oh, to come in your poverty and your need, you will find, I tell you this, that the brethren are of one mind. They are indeed. Age is no barrier in these times. And the mountains shall depart. Oh, they will, the Lord will fay them as chaff. One mind. Beautiful expression here. Fare ye well. Oh, how the dear apostle desired that they would walk in this sweet pathway. And then this, live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Let us look at this word clearly. Let us come close to this word, live in peace. You know, I see that to be this. Live in the peace of God which passes all understanding. It's not a natural peace. It is a peace in the heart through the peace speaking blood of Jesus Christ, washing away the sin of your soul and bringing you to be at peace with the living family of God. It is that peace which the angels declared over the hills of Bethlehem, on earth, peace. Christ, my peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Fare ye well. Live in peace, in the peace of Christ in your heart. And when you know that peace in your soul, in its richness, you will feel able to follow him in sweet obedience to his heavenly commandment. You will indeed. And the God of peace, beautiful word. The God of love and peace shall be with you. And how will you know that? Ah, you will know it. You will walk in the light of his countenance, and you will know his love in your soul, in the sweet savour of it. The Hebrew writer says this, loved of my God, for him again with love intense I'd burn. Chosen of thee ere time began, I'd choose thee in return. The God of love and peace. Oh, I ask you here tonight, dear friend, answer before him. You know his love, don't you? You have felt it. You have walked in peace. You have known that comfort in your own heart, this precious peace. Oh, what a sacred path this is. Fare ye well. Oh, when the saints of God fare well here below, they walk in the presence of this God of love and peace. His everlasting love, beautifully expressed to Jeremiah, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Has the Lord dropped that peace into your soul? Answer before him. And now we come to the benediction. For here the dear servant of God, as he labored over the church at Corinth, he came to this beautiful benediction as he said, fare ye well. And then he comes to this sweet truth, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. This was his desire for them. Oh, look at it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what have you known of it in your soul? I remember well listening to my father preach back at Southampton in UK. I remember listening to him preach on the blood of Christ. I was young. The Lord had begun with me. But I groaned under his ministry in this respect. I said, Lord, I know nothing of what he's preaching about. I've never experienced it. The blood of Christ in my heart. I knew he had. But you know, I walked out of that chapel. I hadn't gone a few yards from the chapel when the Lord spoke, and it was this. Every grace and every favor comes to us through Jesus' blood. I had a hope. I had known what it had been to have a hearing ear. I had known what it had been to have a few answers to prayer. I had known what it had been to be broken down in godly sorrow before him. And I had such a sight that night that I could have had no grace of Christ unless his precious blood had been shed for me. There have been times when the Lord has led me more deeply into the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of those times I've referred to here since I've been preaching here, when in Holland in 1961, in the home of a dear godly Dutch elder, the Lord sweetly blessed me with the realization of his redeeming love and blood, redeemed with Jesus' blood redeemed. His beauty is called to trace. And oh, to know more and more of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. His mercy, his love is known in the application of his atoning blood in our heart. The apostle sweetly refers to it in Romans when he says, by whom, that is God, ye have now received the atonement. That is Christ, by whom ye have now received the atonement. Oh, what do you know of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? You will see, as you may have noticed, that every time I pronounce the benediction, I cannot add anything to it. I use this benediction as one of the most simple, straightforward, blessed benedictions in the Scripture. It is so simple. Be with you all. Oh, it is my desire that you may know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, his love and mercy to you in your soul, giving you to know his rich atonement, reconciliation between your soul and your God, the healing of that breach, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God. Oh, what do you know of it? Beautifully spoken to the Lord's servant Jeremiah when he said to him, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. There is nothing in this world to compare with the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever tasted it? The hymn writer says this, love divine, all love excelling. And it does indeed. And we see it in those dear brethren, David and Jonathan. Their love and union excelled, they said, the love of women. It was love in the sacred bonds of the eternal gospel, unbroken now, for they worship him before the throne in glory. One eternal, ineffable union in heaven, bound in that bundle of everlasting life with Christ. And finally, this word and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Oh, dear friend, what do you know of that sweet communion of the Holy Spirit? It's a beautiful hymn, our blessed Redeemer, ere he breathed his tender last farewell, a guide, a comforter bequeathed with us to dwell. Oh, that sacred communion. The Holy Spirit speaks not of himself, but he brings the church of God into communion, sacred, holy communion with Father and Son, and into the blessed bond of the everlasting covenant as Christ spoke of it in his prayer at the end of the Last Supper. They all may be one. I in them and thou in me. that they may be one in us. Oh, the communion of saints that is spoken of here in this word, brethren, and the communion with a triune God that is known here below. Finally, brethren, fare ye well. We do not know whether we shall ever meet again, but this we know, that if under the mighty hand of this triune God we are brought together in the bonds of the covenant here in love and union to know him whom to know is life eternal, then we shall not be separated in eternity to come. Finally, brethren, farewell. Amen.